You're listening to Apricity by Millie Wilcox, Episode 9, All Three Names.
Mom, my stomach hurts. I don't want to go to school today.
Levi said when he woke up. Nice try, mister. Go get dressed, Stephanie replied.
But Mom!
He whined. Stephanie felt his forehead. If you don't have a fever and you're not throwing up, then you gotta go to school. Go get dressed. She turned him towards the bedroom and gave his bottom a little swat. After the regular morning struggle, dragging kids out of bed, fighting, tantrums about clothes not fitting right, etc., Stephanie finally sent the kids out to the bus. She heard Matthew fussing to get down from his high chair and remembered she had not buckled him in, so she hurried into the kitchen to lift him down. Who didn't eat their cereal? She wondered. She went back into the living room to see if the bus had come. It was just pulling away from the house, and there was Levi hiding behind the van. Stephanie opened the front door. Levi Tobias Wren, she shouted as she stomped in her socks over to where Levi was hiding. He looked up at her, and then he put his head down and puked all over Stephanie's socks and sweatpants. After the shock wore off a little, Stephanie began to feel terrible. She had not believed him, especially since everyone else had been sick already except for him. Stephanie rubbed her forehead where another imaginary fail stamped across it.
I'm sorry, Mom,
Levi moaned. Oh, baby, it's okay. I'm sorry I didn't believe you, she said, feeling guilty. Come on, let's get you cleaned up. Actually, Stephanie had most of the vomit on her. Levi went back to bed. He slept most of the day, except for the couple of times he woke up to throw up. Thankfully, he got it all in the toilet. Stephanie tried to be extra nice to him. She brought him sports drinks, water, and crackers. Around the time the other kids got home from school and Chris brought his kids over, Levi perked up and was back to playing and tormenting everyone. While Stephanie made dinner, Amara opened the lower cupboards and pulled out the mixing bowls and pots. Matthew got out the spatulas and wooden spoons, and the two of them banged on the bowls and pots like a drum set for a while. When Amara got tired of drumming, she climbed into the biggest mixing bowl and put a little pot on her head.
Look, Mama. Boat,
Matthew said. Amara giggled. Matthew handed her the wooden spoon. Then he sang, as he turned the mixing bowl around and around. Amara giggled and squealed. They were so stinking adorable. Stephanie took a picture of them. She debated whether she should send the picture to Chris, but it was so cute that she couldn't help herself. Stephanie texted the picture with the caption, Matthew says, row, row, row your boat. A little while later, Chris responded,
I'm sorry she made a mess.
Stephanie replied, What? No, don't be sorry. I just thought it was adorable.
Haha, yeah. Thanks for the picture.
When Stephanie put the kids to bed, this time she put a foam pad on the floor for Caden to sleep on until his dad got back. Amara was asleep in her bedroom as usual. Levi was not tired, so Stephanie told him to go read in the living room. Stephanie went to heat up dinner. She dished up two plates of meatloaf, mashed potatoes, and green beans from a can, and right on cue, Chris walked through the door.
Hey, Levi,
Chris said.
Hey, Butthead,
Levi said back. Chris walked past Levi to the kitchen, and Levi got up and followed him.
Hey,
Chris said, looking apologetic.
I'm really sorry.
Sorry about what? Stephanie asked. He looked at her with regretful eyes. What did you do? She asked.
It's not something I did. It's something I didn't do.
Chris clarified. You forgot to record the lecture. Stephanie glared at him. He nodded. Christopher! Stephanie scolded. Okay, I don't know if that is actually your name, but Chris is too short to express my frustration right now. Chris let out a short laugh.
Yeah, that's my name.
Man,
Levi said.
You got the long name. She must be really mad at you. At least you didn't get all three names like I did this morning.
I don't think she knows my middle name.
Chris chuckled as he sat down at the table next to Levi. Then he asked Levi,
What did you do?
I puked on her pants,
Levi said. No, Stephanie interjected. You got in trouble for not getting on the bus, but that was before I knew you were going to throw up, remember?
Oh, yeah,
Levi said.
Okay, that's my fault, too. I'm really sorry.
Chris was looking pretty miserable now.
Don't be. It's fine. Everyone's kids are sick right now. We're just a little ahead of the curve. And now we get to be done with it. Levi was the last one. Stephanie was still bugged about the lecture, but since Chris looked so miserable, she let it drop. She pulled a plate of food from the microwave and put it in front of Chris.
I watched this hockey game between the Blue Jackets and the Cardinals,
Chris said to Levi as he started eating.
Do you want to see the replay?
Yeah,
Levi said excitedly. Chris pulled up a video on his phone and he and Levi watched together.
Cool. Is that legal?
Yeah, I think so. They didn't take him out.
Cool,
Levi said again. I didn't know you were into hockey, Stephanie said to Chris.
Me either,
he replied. Then he said to Levi,
hey, there's a youth hockey league. You should play.
No, Stephanie said quickly. Chris, he can't play hockey.
Why not?
Chris asked. Stephanie gave Chris a look that she hoped would mean, drop it or I will murder your soul.
Yeah, Mom, why can't I play hockey?
Levi asked.
It's not as dangerous as football,
Chris suggested. Stop, Stephanie hissed. She was really bugged now.
What?
Chris asked. Apparently he didn't pick up on her look, and now she had to spell it out for him. The rink is 15 minutes away. That means it's a 30-minute drive to drop off and pick up. That's an hour commitment, not to mention gas money. If I stay during practice, then it's an hour and a half time commitment. They practice 3 times a week. 3! And then there are games that can be as many as 3 hours away, 6 if they make it to the playoffs. I don't have that kind of time or energy or brain power for that right now. And it's $375 to play, plus they have to have their own skates. I don't have that kind of money. Stephanie could feel her anger boiling up. I didn't even buy a physics textbook because it was $275, and you said we didn't need one because you would cover it all in class. But then you forgot to hit the stupid record button, so now I have to buy the freaking textbook anyway. Stephanie was yelling now. Chris looked stunned. Stephanie got up and walked out of the room. She was embarrassed for yelling at Chris, but she was really mad that he had turned her into the bad guy with Levi. She always had to be the bad guy with him. Someone had to be bad cop, and she was the only one available. Then Chris swoops in and talks a little about hockey, and he's the hero, and Levi hates her even more. Stephanie leaned against the wall in the hallway where she was out of sight. She heard Levi say,
boy, you blew it.
Yeah, I guess I did,
Chris agreed. Chris walked around the wall where Stephanie was standing. She glared at him.
Harris.
What? Stephanie was confused.
My middle name is Harris. Go ahead.
He hung his head in shame. Stephanie laughed. Christopher Harris Taylor, you make me crazy. Her voice was calm now. She pointed a finger at him, then she walked past him, back to the kitchen. She cleared the dinner plates. Levi, maybe someday you can play hockey. Life's just too much right now. Chris peeked in the kitchen.
I'll get out of your hair,
he said. Then he went to get his sleeping kids, loaded them in the car, and left. Thursday morning, Stephanie got an email from her physics instructor. He sent it to everyone in the class.
Physics 1100 class. I forgot to record the lecture last night, so if you missed it, attached are some notes from Chapter 9.
Stephanie clicked on the attachment. It was a document with detailed notes from the chapter. When Chris dropped off his kids, Stephanie said, thanks for the notes.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Chris shrugged, then he left. Stephanie was putting the little kids to bed when Chris let himself in that evening. Everyone had made it through the teeth-brushing fiascos, and the younger kids were in their beds waiting to be sung to. Stephanie walked out when she heard the door open. Hey. She walked into the kitchen, and Chris followed her. She got the leftover chicken soup out of the fridge. Don't leave until you help me with my homework, she said, handing him a bowl.
Oh, shoot. I can't help you with homework outside of class. You could come into my office during office hours.
He must have realized how silly that suggestion was, because he added,
or we could schedule a video call, if you want.
No, I don't need help with my physics homework. It's for my massage class. I need to map someone's back. Chris raised his eyebrows. Don't worry, it's not hard. It only takes a minute, but it's supposed to be an adult. Chris looked like he wasn't sure about it. Or maybe I can go knock on the next door neighbor's door and say, hey, can I map your back? That won't be weird at all. Or I could drive 2 hours to my parents' house.
Okay, fine.
Caleb came into the room crying.
Mom, my leg
Darn growing pains. I'm sorry, Caleb. Let me get you some medicine. Stephanie opened the cupboard above the fridge and stood on her tiptoes. The bottle of children's pain reliever was just out of reach. She jumped, but it just knocked over. "Chris," she said, "will you grab me that bottle?" Chris, who had just put a bowl of soup in the microwave, walked over and reached for the bottle, but he couldn't quite grab it either. He touched it with the tips of his fingers, and it rolled further into the cupboard. Stephanie looked at him in surprise. "Are you really not that much taller than me?" she asked.
"Are you just noticing that?"
he replied, giving up on reaching the bottle. "You are taller than me." She took a step closer to him and had to look up to look in his eyes. He looked down at her. It was not by much, but he was taller. "Maybe you have short arms." She held up her arm to compare. "Put your arm up. Let's see who has the longer reach." Chris obeyed and reached his hand up. Stephanie pushed her palm against Chris's, who was now only about an inch from her. He gave her that weird look again, and she was mesmerized for just a moment. Caleb cried, and Stephanie snapped out of it. She went to the pantry to grab a step stool. Then she climbed up and got the runaway bottle and handed a couple of chewable pills to Caleb. "I'll be back," she said to Chris as she walked with Caleb out of the kitchen. She tucked Caleb into bed. Then she sang everyone a song, including Caden, and gave them each a hug before going back into the kitchen. Chris was sitting at the table, eating.
"I should be paying extra for all the food,"
he said. "No, you shouldn't. You already pay me too much." "Are you okay if I use you for my homework then?" Stephanie asked.
I don't have to take my shirt off, do I?"
he asked uncomfortably. Stephanie smiled and blushed. "No."
"Okay, then,"
he conceded. She went to get a worksheet she had printed off. "Here, slide over to the bench. You can keep eating." So Chris scooted from the chair to the bench. Stephanie put her hands on Chris's shoulders. He took a quick breath in when she touched him. It gave her butterflies. She ran her hands across his shoulders and down his back. His back was not as broad as Jason's, nor was it as muscular. He had big knots under his shoulder blades. "You are so tight," she said. "I think you've been stressing a lot lately."
"I'm never stressed,"
Chris muttered.
"Especially not during the last year."
Stephanie started massaging Chris's back, even though it wasn't part of her homework. Chris pushed his bowl out of the way and laid his head down on the table. Charlotte walked in the room.
"Mom, what are you doing?"
she asked. "What does it look like I'm doing?" "I'm giving Chris a massage," Stephanie responded casually.
But you used to give Dad a massage like that."
Chris sat back up, but Stephanie kept rubbing his back and said, "And Grandpa Charlie and Sister Price and Trey sometimes. It's fine, Charlotte. That's what a massage therapist does." Charlotte didn't look convinced. She stared at them for a moment and then huffed and walked out of the room.
"I should get out of your hair,"
Chris said, starting to stand up. Stephanie put her hands on his shoulders and gently pushed him back down. "You are not in my hair, nor have you ever been. You can go when I'm done working these knots out." Chris let out a little chuckle and put his head back down on the table. After a while, Stephanie asked, "Are you asleep?"
"Maybe,"
Chris muttered.
"I should go."
He sat up and looked at Stephanie. "You look so tired," Stephanie said.
"I'm never tired."
"You know what? Why don't you leave your kids here for the night, and you can come back for them in the morning?"
"No, Caden gets on the bus at 7.
Then he added,
"But he's not the problem. He always falls right back to sleep when we get home."
"Just leave Amara, then. I don't mind, really." Chris furrowed his brow.
"No, I would feel terrible if she woke up and kept you up all night."
"I don't mind, really. I'm an expert at staying up all night with babies. I did it for like 14 years. I miss it," Stephanie said cheerfully.
"No, you don't,"
Chris called her bluff. Stephanie didn't argue. Instead, she just said, "Leave Amara here. You go home and get some sleep, and then you can pick her up tomorrow after you get Caden on the school bus." Then Stephanie remembered something. "In fact, we're going to the aquarium tomorrow morning. You should come with us if you're free. Has Amara been to the aquarium?"
"No."
"Oh, you have to come. She's the perfect age for it. She will love it. Oh, please come to the aquarium with us," Stephanie begged. Chris just looked at her. "I can see you're having a hard time making up your mind, so I will help you. Here's what you're going to do. You are going to take Caden home and get a good night's sleep. In the morning, you will get Caden off to school, then you will come back here, and we will all go to the aquarium."
"Did anyone ever tell you that you're very pushy?"
"Uh-huh."
"And persuasive?"
"Yep." He went to the boy's bedroom and picked up Caden on his hip. Caden laid his head on his dad's shoulder.
I'll put him in the car and come back for Amara.
Stephanie frowned at him. Then she picked up Caden's backpack and followed them outside in her bare feet. It was starting to snow. Here comes winter again, Stephanie said as she opened the car door for Chris to put Caden in. She handed him the backpack. See you tomorrow morning, she said cheerfully. Chris didn't respond. Stephanie walked into the house and locked the door behind her. Chris stood in the driveway for a minute. She watched him through the window, and he glared at her. She smiled and waved at him, and then he got into his car and pulled out.